The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I got a question for you. What's in your trash that could make you, that can help launch you into a multi-million dollar company? You know, Yogi Berra once said that when you reach a fork in the road, take it. Well, today we're going to be talking with two women who know what it means to make the right choices. And so we're going to be talking about choices that you make when times get tough. You know, our first guest is someone who has really hit bottom and has made a multimillion dollar company. And I am talking about Lucinda Yates. Lucinda Yates was once homeless and destitute, and her future... She took her future in her own hands and created a multi-million dollar company. She has been awarded the Small Business Out of the Box by UPS, as well as receiving other awards as well. Lucinda's journey and success story is very unique, and she brings unique insights to overcoming obstacles and challenges in order to achieve both personal as well as corporate success, which is both inspiring and educational. You know, following a divorce and financial setback, Lucinda found herself homeless. She sold all her belongings and moved into her van. And she thought it would be a very short period of time until she'd be able to establish herself and find a place for her and her daughter that they could call home. In the end, that lasted two very long years. And Lucinda's journey from that point forward, I'm going to let her tell her story, is an absolute inspiring one. Today, she created some pins called Designs by Lucinda. And those designs have sold over 5 million pins and have grossed over $25 million. And she has helped more than 6,000 nonprofits throughout the world as far as awareness. But let me just jump to Lucinda because her story is just absolutely incredible. Lucinda, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And it's such a great honor to be able to meet you, Deanne.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to take all your thunder away because your story is so inspiring. And I think it'd be better for our audience to actually hear your story from your lips. So tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, it's a big question. I will try to put it into some sort of context here. I guess from my perspective about my story is that I've made a lot of choices in my lifetime, and those choices have created a ton of different experiences for me. And through those experiences, I think I've really led an extraordinary life. And when I say extraordinary, I mean different than the ordinary, extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And I guess what's most amazing for me in my story is that I spent 2 years homeless, and then I spent 5 years to create a million-dollar company. And through my artistic abilities, I guess my artistic talents and passions, I was able to create a pin that that I would touch millions of people's lives with. And those 5 million pins that I would end up creating, I think the other piece that I find very amazing about them is that no two are alike. And then the final thing that I would say makes what I think is an amazing story is that these pins are a means of communication for people in their communities. When they see them on other people wearing them on their lapels, they ask, where did you get that pin? And then they are inspired to tell a conversation about what's going on in their community in terms of the social issues that are happening. And they also tell the story about how, you know, this amazing woman, supposedly that would be me, that has overcome homelessness to create a $1 million company that's helped raise $25 million for nonprofits.
Yeah, it's just me. I mean, I first received one of your pins probably about 6 years ago, six or seven years ago. It was being sold through, you know, YWCA's crisis hotline, and I have purchased your pins ever since. I mean, I just love them. The one I have is a woman's pin, and I just love it. I mean, what gave you the idea to make jewelry, to make pins?
Well, actually, I didn't have an idea to actually make the pin that I made. I guess I did. But one of the things that I had learned when I was homeless from other homeless women was how to create American Indian beaded jewelry. And I was sort of doing that once I had established myself and overcome homelessness. I was doing that as a sort of a side business and doing okay at it. And one day I decided to change the medium in which I was working with, and this is I discovered some trash actually in a trash can and it was filled with some mat board, which is what you frame your pictures in. And I cut them up into shapes and was making sort of Art Deco type design jewelry. And one day I put a triangle on top of a square, and lo and behold, there was the image of a house, and it looked nothing like the work that I had been creating. And I thought, right at that moment, I had this sort of flash of eureka moment, and a little voice in my head said, wow, this would make a great fundraiser for the homeless. And so I pursued that. And the next thing you know, I was selling these pins to raise money for a local shelter in my community. Mm-hmm. And a realtor got a hold of them, said she loved them, and wanted to sell these at a convention. I said, okay. How many do you want? And she said, oh, I'd like to have 100. So I made 100 different house pins, and I sent her on her way to this convention in Florida. And I said, well, here, let me help you sell these. Hand out this little flyer that says what these pins are for. And the flyer basically said, these are house pins to help the homeless in Portland, Maine. If you want to help the homeless in your own community, call me. And sure enough, women from all over the United States started calling me. And I just, it kind of kept going with it. So it's not like I came up with this idea. It just sort of came out of creativity. And that's, I guess, what happens when you're in the creative mode. Anything can happen, and that's what happened.
That's just an incredible story. I mean, who would have thought to take trash out of a, you know, finding some trash that could be useful and then making pins out of it and then launching a business from that? I mean, that's just an incredible story. And your whole story is about helping others. Mm-hmm. So it's like helping others to help you. I mean, it's like creating the synergy around this jewelry.
And the other thing, the piece to this is so fascinating, is as I've looked at it over the years, is that all of these things are connected. And my experience of homelessness, I mean, does it really surprise anybody that's listening that I might look in a trash can?
No,
and
probably not.
Find something in there useful, having had this experience of homelessness. And I think that's one of the things that happens to us, is that we take these experiences from our past that we've created, and we bring them forward with us, and we draw on those experiences. And I think the most joyous thing in my life is giving meaning to all of these little experiences. I'm obsessed, I tell you, with giving meaning to why it exists. And in this case, you know, when you talk about taking trash out of a trash can, I just think, well, no, it's not that, to me, it's not that surprising because of where my experiences came from.
Mm-hmm. So you gained strength from your experiences versus wallowing in the woe.
Oh, let me tell you what. When I was homeless, I learned so much being homeless, and I actually, if you can believe this or not, there is a joy to it. There is something that I could tell you was good. I mean, it's not like it was. People want to make it out to be so horrible, but it's all your perspective. It's about how you see it, and I guess at some point, obviously, you know, the pain outweighs the pleasure. And, and I made a decision, you know, okay, I need to get on a new road, and created through a series of different choices, a new life. And that sort of manifested into, you know, my current business. But I have to tell you that the things that I learned, from homelessness, I didn't know how to run a business either. I mean, I had never been homeless, didn't know how to run a business either. So here I was running a business, but you know what? I learned the same, one of the lessons I learned in business was, it's just like being homeless. You put one foot in front of the other, and you do the next thing you need to do. And you have to do that when you're homeless. You have to be resourceful when you're homeless. You have to have very near-term focus. You know, what do I need to do next? You have to have sort of this survival mindset, and you have to be fearless. And all of those things are things that are required, I think, they were required for me to take what was happening to me in my business, which was growing faster than I could even imagine, and I didn't know how to do it, and apply those things. And I had applied them in my homeless life, so I just applied them in my business life. And
well,
it worked.
I really think that's really important. So you did know how to run a business, but you kind of approached your business like you did when you were homeless, by just putting one foot in front of the other, just keep moving, doing the next best right thing.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's what I had to do. And, I mean, there were challenges that obviously I had to face when I was homeless.
Right.
And there were challenges that I had to face when, you know, in my business. And, you know, again, for me, though, it always comes back to reexamining what's happened or what has happened or what's happening, and then giving some meaning to that. I always have to find the underneath the surface, what else is under there. And that's, I guess, why, in part, my business holds so much meaning in that for me, and I think a lot of other people, my customers, and I guess people who buy pens and wear pens, and I know you have a certain feeling about your pens, is that whole meaningful piece to it, that it has this purpose, and it connects people. And I always used to say, I'm not selling pens, I'm selling relationships.
Oh, I love that. You know, so tell us, what were some of those challenges that you faced in learning how to run your business?
Oh, I have so many good stories. I guess everybody probably has. I'll give you two choices, a PR story or a banker story. Which one do you want to hear?
Oh, well, tell us the banker story.
Okay, here's the banker story. This is the very beginning of my business, and I'm getting checks from – I created a business that was a cash business. I had no money. So these women who were buying the pens, the realtor people, they're calling me up saying, oh, we love your idea. We bought a pen from this woman who was selling them at this convention. We'd like to have 50 to help Habitat for Humanity, a homeless shelter, whoever. Can we have 50? And I'd say, well, you have to pay me first because I have to make the pens. So they'd send me a check for the pens. Well, then one day, this woman sent me a check for $2,400. The pens were $6 each, and she wanted 400 pens. And
wow.
I thought, uh-oh. I mean, this was taking up a lot of time for me, you know, to make all these pens. And I had my other little business, too, at the time. And so this is right in the very beginning. So I decide, okay, I'm going to go to the bank, and I'm going to say to them, I need to get some money so that I can buy some inventory, buy some supplies, make the inventory, and that way I can ship the pens to my customers faster, and they can help the homeless faster. So it all made sense to me. So I went into the banker, and I had my check in my hand for $2,400, and I said, Charlie, I said, you know, I need to borrow some money from you. Just, I don't need that much, I said, but just in case I need the money, I'd like to be able to do this. I lived across the street from the bank, and so they knew me. I'd been going in there for a couple of years. So Charlie says, well, Lucinda, do you have any collateral? I said, well, what does that mean? I truly didn't even know what that meant. And he said, you know, well, do you own your house? I said, well, of course I don't own my house. You know I live in the apartment across the street. Well, have you asked your family for money? Well, no. If they had some money, I would have asked them. Well, do you own your car? Well, I make payments on my Subaru. Well, I said, well, how about this? What about this diamond ring? Would you accept that? No, he wouldn't. And he said to me, he said, well, listen, dear. He said, without collateral, he said, I need a guarantee. He said, and I'm sorry, there's nothing that I can do to help you, dear. Well, about the second time he called me dear, I'd had enough. And I walked over to his big executive desk, and I leaned over, and I stiff-armed my arm on that desk, and I looked right down at him. I was probably 18 inches from his face. And I said, you know what? I said, I can give you a guarantee. I guarantee you this. When I have a multi-million dollar company, when people are writing stories about me, I'm on TV, and we're writing about this business, and you see it in the newspapers everywhere, I guarantee you this. I guarantee you I will tell them that it was your bank that would not help me. And I spun around on my heel, and I walked off. I was furious. I went home to my apartment, was making my pins in my attic, came down, and on my answering machine, there's a blinking light on my cell phone. Guess who it is?
The banker.
Charlie the banker. And he said, Lucinda, he said, listen, come on over, he said, to the bank, and I'll, he said, we can't do everything that you want. He said, but I think we can help you. I never went to the bank, and I continued to operate a cash business. You pay in advance before I ship the pens. I took all my money and reinvested it into my business. The moral of the story is threaten success.
Wow. That is exciting. You know, we got, I hate to take a break, but we got to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more. So we'll talk a little bit more about threatened success. I love that. We'll be right back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of Today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for Today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at DeanneDeMarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we have Lucinda Yates on the phone. And Lucinda, just before break, you talked about the moral of the banker story was to threaten success, which I just thought was just really eye-opening. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and how that has served you?
Well, for me, I think it's really important that if you can feel it in yourself, then you have a greater chance yourself of success. I mean, if you don't feel that, I mean, you're not going to go anywhere, I don't think. And I think one of the ways to do that is to sort of have that mindset or that feeling in you that you are going to succeed. You just know it. And you do. Inside of you, you know. And I think that starts out first by sort of a self-examination and of who you are, and holding yourself accountable to who you are. And And that's why I think I was able to threaten success to the banker, was because I knew where I was going and what I was doing, and there was nothing stopping me. I mean, my vision was clear, and he just wasn't seeing it.
I love that. You know, you really believed in yourself. I mean, that's what it boils down to. And you just didn't let this naysayer turn you away.
Oh, no, I didn't. No, there was no way that was happening. And I guess I was also fueled by, you know, the way he was coming towards me with this dear attitude. Like, I'm sure he wouldn't have been saying something like that had I, you know, been a different person walking through that door. You know,
uh-huh.
And I guess that's what was really making me a little bit like having the guts to just look at him and say, you know what? Nobody's talking to me like that.
I love it. You know, I'm sorry, but I got to hear the PR story.
Well, the PR story is even longer than that. But I made this decision. Better Homes and Gardens, a long time ago, wanted me to be in their magazine and on the editor's page. And I told them, oh, you can't tell the story about me being homeless. I'm not going to have you do that. And they agreed. They'd still have me on in the magazine. They were going to sell these pens and raise money for the Better Homes and Families Foundation, serving women. It was Mother's Day, so you could buy a pen, and the money would go to help homeless mothers. Perfect match, perfect PR thing going on here. It was gorgeous, except for they wanted to sell my pens for $20. And I said, yeah, okay. Well, I went home and was sick to my stomach that night because I had made all my nonprofit customers sell my pens for $10. They purchased them for $6, sold them for $10. And here I was letting these people sell them for $20, and I realized that I had betrayed every customer I had. So I called Better Homes and Gardens the next day, and I said, I'm sorry. I feel so bad. I feel so unprofessional. I can't sell you these pens, and I can't go in your magazine because I need you to sell these pens for $10 each. All my other customers do, and they sign contracts. I mean, I wrote these rules that they had to do this. I'm sure it's highly illegal, but I did it anyway. And they said to me, well, we can't. We've got all kinds of expenses, shipping expenses. I said, fine. What does it cost you to ship the pens? They said, $5. I said, well, then you can sell the pens for $15, and you have to disclose that that includes shipping and handling. My nonprofit customers will totally understand that. Sure enough, they did it. I promised them that I would deliver to them 4,000 pins for this event that they were doing in their magazine. It turned out that they sold 22,000 pins.
Holy smokes.
Yep. And the moral of that story is, do not compromise your principles for sales.
Oh, I like that as well.
And I really believe that. And again, that goes back to yourself and believing in yourself and believing what you know to be the truth. I don't know how else to explain what that is. And I am so blessed to have been able to just live this experience of creating this company and being a witness to it. And I will tell you this, I really have been a witness to this. It's not like I started out and said, oh, I'm going to create this, da-da-da-da-da. I didn't. It just started happening, and I realized at one point, I am nothing more than the bus driver. That's all I have to do is sit here and drive the bus, and just, that was it.
You know, so you're really talking about integrity. You're talking about integrity to your business. You're talking about integrity yourself. And you're talking about integrity to your product. You know, and I think that is a wonderful story for exactly that. I mean, you know, we talk about all the time that you need to be true to yourself, and you just nailed that one right between the eyes.
Well, and when you are true to yourself, what happens is that other things line up for you. And so that's why, like, adjusting, sort of reexamining, and I kind of have to go back to this about when I do some public speaking, and one of the things I'm always saying is that your number one responsibility on this planet, this is me saying this, so I doesn't really mean it's true, but this is what I think, that your number one responsibility on this planet is to know who you are. That's it. And the first piece to that is kind of digging into the, okay, why did I do this? And if your life is a mess or things aren't going the way that you want, then you really need to sort of look at that and start to take self-awareness, look at that, and be accountable to who you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then move on, be gentle with yourself, create some sort of a plan for change, and then be relentless in your pursuit of your next best self.
Boy, I love that. So would that be the advice that you would give to women who might be going through some difficult times?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would give that advice to even business owners that are fine, or business owners who are struggling to move into the next space, or, you know, things aren't quite going the way you want it, or, you know, you were hoping for something different. One of the things that I think you have to do is you sort of have to always readjust, slightly tweak your perspective, and it kind of goes back for me, intention. If you don't like what's happening, then look at your intentions. And so there's this mirror that you sort of adjust periodically as you're going forward. In my business, it's not like I didn't adjust things all the time. I did just little tweaks here and there. And that kept me in line with my true self. And I think that that's, you know, I think anybody can do that. You don't have to just be going through bad times. I just think it's important to do that. But I think that if you are going through difficult times, most of the time that's probably because there's something going on inside of you that needs to be checked out by you.
Yeah, I think that's really good. You know, the other thing that I've noticed, I mean, the first time I bought your pin was a number of years ago, and it was on a one piece of manila cardboard, I guess, and that was a pin on it with the little sticker in the back. And now, with your pins, it's like a little tiny little folder. And I love it. It says, Designs by Lucinda, Changing the World One Pin at a Time. Mm-hmm. And then you open it up, and so the sticker can go right there for that nonprofit. And then it tells a little bit about your story. Mm-hmm. And then your pictures on the front and the back.
Yeah.
So the progression of even your product has, not the packaging of your product, has changed a little bit.
Yeah.
So there's a lesson in that, too, is don't jump too quickly into be prepared for that as it's coming along.
Right. Depending on the type of business that you have and the type of, you know, obviously, I think some businesses are different. Each one's different. For me, I really like the, you know, make it out of nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the artist, you know, or the creative person in me. It's like, oh, create it from scratch. And that's what my company is or has been. But, you know, other people are different. You know, I think that if you've got a, you know, something else that's not, you know, a small business like mine was, that maybe, you know, it is a little bit different of approach, and you do want to, you know, do something that resonates with the type of business that you had. When I started my company, I you know, I had nothing really. And so I just sort of made do with what I had. And that's kind of how I've always looked at things is, you know, look around in your own backyard first and see what you have. And then before you start needing to go someplace else. Because most of the time your resources are right there. Right there. That's what I've always experienced, but other people may be different.
Yeah. So how can people get hold of your pins? And I know you mentioned that you do public speaking as well. How do people get hold of you for that as well?
Well, if you can just remember my name, Lucinda, then you can go to www.lucinda.com and contact me through my website. That's the easiest way, lucinda.com. Mm-hmm. If you really want to, you know, just be talking to me personally, if you can remember my full name, Lucinda Yates, then you can email me at lucindayates@lucinda.com. So it's really Lucinda.
Yeah, Lucinda Yates.
Lucinda.com, or just go to lucinda.com and contact me through the contact page.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, I just love your pins. I have bought a number of them, distributed them to a number of people. For anyone who has a nonprofit that they're trying to want to raise some funds with, your pins are it. I mean, you have a whole variety of different things. You have angels and houses and women's pins and just all kinds of things. I went on your website and took a look at a number of your pins. They're just marvelous, just marvelous.
Well,
so that
I
was Designs
that.
By
you.
Lucinda, and that's Lucinda, Changing the World One Pin at a Time. Well, Lucinda, you know, our time is up, and man, I could just go on talking to you for like hours. But I'd like to thank you for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, and Deanne, it was just awesome to meet you, and I can't wait to hear from your next guest.
Well, thank you very much. We need to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about really understanding those choices that you make and how those choices can help you to move to the next best place. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest-growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email Deanne@DeanneDeMarco.com for more information.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@DeanneDeMarco.com. That's DEANNE@DeanneDeMarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. And we have a very interesting guest on the line. You know, have you ever voiced the words, "This wasn't supposed to happen to me"? Well, who hasn't said those words? Well, Dr. Bev Smallwood is the author of "This Wasn't Supposed to Happen to Me: 10 Make or Break Choices When Life Steals Your Dreams and Rocks Your World." Let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Bev Smallwood. Bev is a psychologist with over 30 years of experience working with trauma survivors and people who have gone through major life setbacks. She's the author of that book, "This Wasn't Supposed to Happen to Me." She's the founder of the Hope Center, a private psychological clinic serving thousands of clients since 1984. She is a professional speaker working with organizations around the world on resilience and workplace issues. She's been in the media quite a bit. She's appeared on MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, CBS Radio, Talk America, New York Times, USA Today, Washington Business Journal, Chicago Tribune, Cincinnati Inquirer, and the list just goes on and on. I just can't wait to start talking to this woman. Bev, welcome to Today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, I was just really excited to talk to you. You know, we heard from our first guest about some of the problems that she has. And so one of the questions I have for you, there's a saying that time heals all wounds. Is that really true?
You know, there is a sense in which time does kind of diminish the awareness of the pain. But a client of mine said it best, I think. She said, we were talking about this whole issue of does time heal all wounds. Her husband had been killed by a drunk driver. And she said this. She said, it's like if you break your arm. Over time, it will heal. But if it's not set properly, it'll heal crooked. And so we do have some choices that we have to make and some recovery that has to take place if true healing is going to take place.
Well, I really like that. Yeah, so you have to follow the right path in that healing process.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, so when adversity strikes, what is the greatest antidote for that horrible feeling of powerlessness?
Well, you know, when things happen to us that we absolutely did not choose and had no control of, we do feel very powerless, and that sends us into a whole emotional roller coaster. But the one thing to remember is that no matter what happens, we do have choices about how we're going to respond within that. One of the things I say to my seminar audiences is, you can't always control what happens to you, but you do have control over what happens in you.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's really true. I mean, how you approach the situation.
Yes. And being able, Lucinda in the last interview talked about how you take what you have where you are. And that is one of the choices, to be able to take responsibility right where you are and not let yourself think like a victim, but instead to take responsibility. And the responsibility definition I give is this: doing all you can with all you have where you are right now. And that's exactly what she did and what each person that's listening can do, no matter what their circumstance is. What do you have control of? What can you do with all you have where you are right now?
Well, I really like that. You know, one of the things that I heard with the previous interview is that she took what she had.
Yes.
I mean, is that, you know, and then she was able to make a multi-million-dollar company out of it. I mean,
right.
Is that unique, or is that uncommon, or is that something that people can really do, is to really bounce back that well?
You know, probably making $1 million company out of it would be a little uncommon, but the principle is true for anyone. Really, what else do you have to work with except what you have right in front of you? I mean, you could sit around wishing and hoping and complaining about what you would do if, and if only somebody else would behave in a different way, then it would be easier. And that's really kind of the victim mentality, complaining more than you act, having pity parties, looking for someone else to change it. But looking at what you have right in front of you to work with, not what you wish you had, but what you do have, and then starting from there and making the most of that. And you know what? As you do that, then one more thing will open up, and another thing, and another, so that you can keep taking those steps.
Well, I think that is really good. You know, she didn't talk about it a lot, but her homeless situation came from a divorce.
Okay.
And I think a lot of times we go through this denial stage, you know, and we're not faced with the reality of what's going on right in front of us.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of correlation between denial versus reality?
Well, there's a big correlation, and then the 10 choices that I talk about, that's the very first choice. You first have to deal with the facts. People who do not are going to live in a dream world, and they'll stay stuck. Now, one little caution is that when something first hits, sometimes you don't really experience it fully because of what I call the emotional circuit breaker. And that is that sometimes our emotions or our knowledge just kind of shuts down when it's overwhelming. But very, very quickly, we need to be gathering the facts that are, not the ones that we thought were going to be, but how things are. You can't solve a problem unless first you define that problem and you look at what the facts are that you do have to work with. And those are the people that are ready to move forward in terms of choosing more and more things that will bring them success.
So really looking at the reality of things is really an important piece.
Yes.
So another thing that I heard with her was that she refused to become a victim.
Yes. There is a difference. She may have been victimized in her circumstance. I don't know. I listened to the interview, and I'm sure that there were things that she chose not to talk about where people didn't do her right or treated her unfairly. You can be victimized, but you don't have to think like a victim. Victims complain more than they act. They don't look at what they can do differently, and she certainly exemplified that, and so can we. When you think like a victim, then it gets you stuck. And at first, people will rally around you and try to help you, you know, because sometimes you have pity parties. But after a while, you burn everybody out. And then you cut yourself off from the support that you can have. So instead of doing that, looking at how can I move forward? How can I look at the light that I have right in front of my feet? I'll tell you a quick story. My daughter was 4 years old. We had gone to visit the lady right across the street who lived up on a high hill. And we let it get too late, and it was very dark. And so we started back down her long, winding driveway. My daughter said, Mommy, what are we going to do? We can't see. And then all of a sudden, she said, wait, look. If we look right down at our feet, we can see how to take the next step.
Mm.
And that is really what we're talking about. We're talking about looking right in front of you at what you have and taking a step in the light that you have. And when you do that, guess what? Light opens up for yet another step and another.
Well, I love it. So what you're really saying is, what I heard a couple things is, one, look at what you have right in front of you. But I'm also hearing you say is take responsibility for your situation as well and to move forward.
That's right. You may not have caused yourself to be in that circumstance, but you are where you are, and that's where you are. That's where you start from. You always start from where you are, and nobody's going to do that for you but yourself.
Well, I really, really like that. You know, the other thing that I hear a lot is, you know, when adversity strikes, people are saying, why me? Why me? Why did this happen?
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
You know, it's kind of a natural question to ask. We want to know why, and we think that if we know why, it'll somehow give us a sense of control. And yet the truth is that we're never going to know all the whys. We're never going to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. And if we get stuck in that type of rut, really, you can go over and over and over the whys into we've all heard it called analysis paralysis, but it's really very true. If you get stuck there, then you're not going to be moving forward. A better choice instead of why, is the question how. How am I going to accomplish my goals right here? How am I going to learn some new skills that I may not have in this circumstance that I'm in now? How can I engage with other people who I can support them and they can support me? How is practical and it's action-oriented? How moves you forward? Why gets you stuck?
I really like that. You know, and I think that's really true, is that people just really get on this why pity party and they don't ask the right questions about how to move forward, which is what that how question is. You know, we need to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of these choices that you have and moving in the right direction. Well, this is Deanne DeMarco. Today's Inspiring Women. We'll be right back.
Why?
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest-growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne@deannedemarco.com. That's Deanne@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we're talking to Dr. Bev Smallwood, and we're talking about choices to help move you forward in the right direction when things go bad. You know, one of the things, Bev, that I really would like to talk about a little bit is, you know, sometimes when we've been harmed, we get bitter.
Yes.
And we really don't forgive. Mm. What are your thoughts around that?
Bitterness is one of the most corrosive and poisonous experiences that we can allow in our bodies and our psyches and our spirits. Hubert Humphrey said it this way. He said, bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting your enemy to die.
Wow.
You know, it literally begins to color our view of the world. And it doesn't stay specifically in that situation. You begin to be a negative person about all the things in your life, and you begin to overreact. Forgiveness is not a plan to release the other person. Some people tell me when I talk about forgiveness, what, and let them get off scot-free? It's not the other person. The other person's out doing whatever they want to do.
Uh-huh.
Instead, it's you that's tied up, I'll tell you. I do a demonstration sometime in my seminars using a rope, and I have them have two people stand and imagine. I have the audience imagine that one of them is them and one is the person who hurt them. And then I tie them up in a rope, and they try to walk forward and can't. So after I did this demonstration one time, a woman on the very front row on the right-hand side yelled out, "Oh, my heavens." And I said, "Well, what on earth is wrong?" And she says, "I just realized something." And I said, what do you realize? And she says, "I just realized I've been sleeping with my ex-husband every night." What she saw was herself tied up with that guy that she thought she divorced 10 years before, but she had never divorced him because she was holding the bitterness and giving him power over her. But when she would go to bed at night, she'd be thinking and thinking about it. Bitterness entraps you, not the other person.
Wow, I really like that. You know, I got a question for you, though, and I think this is a really hard one. You know, uh-huh. What if the person who's harmed you has not apologized? Uh-huh. Frankly, they're not sorry.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to forgive when the person comes and says, "I was wrong and I apologize." But if they don't do that, we often don't have the luxury of that. They're not going to do that. And so then the choice becomes, do I stay tied to this negative situation in my life, or do I want to release myself so that I can have a more positive future? And so in my own self-interest, I choose to forgive. Now, here's a caution. Forgiveness does not necessarily mean that you go back and you open yourself up totally to that person and reconcile. Some of that is dependent on them. If they're still doing the same behavior and it's still hurtful and destructive, then you may choose not to be around that person, even though spiritually and emotionally you've made a choice to forgive. So the internal choice to let go of the bitterness can be different from actually opening yourself up and having a relationship with the person again. If they're willing, if they've changed, if they've apologized, and things really have changed, then sure, you need to consider that possibility. But that distinction keeps a lot of people stuck. They think they'll just open themselves up to be hurt again if they forgive.
So it's really not about forgiving the person in an external way, but more from an internal perspective.
Yes. It's about releasing the person, and I personally release the person to God, and then ask for the healing of my own emotions so that I can move forward. Forgiveness is a decision, and then the healing of the emotions is a process. When you forgive, you don't necessarily just feel all wonderful and loving all of a sudden. That sometimes is a process.
Mm-hmm. So it's really not forgive and forget. I mean, you might remember, but it's more of an internal that I'm just going to, it's a way of letting go.
It is a way of letting go, yes. You will still have a cognitive memory of it, but the question is, when you remember it, does it tie you in knots and get you back into that kind of negative energy that will keep you from being who you can be?
Mm-hmm. Well, so what can a person do? I mean, one of the things that I've other noticed that when people really have things that go wrong in their lives, they tend to isolate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes when people need people most, they want to be around them least. And yet what we know is that the social support is one of the most powerful energizers of recovery and feeling understood and feeling that you have someone to reach out to is a very, very powerful healing force. Sometimes people want to isolate because they're afraid that they'll have an embarrassing reaction of some kind because their emotions are very frayed, or they think mm-hmm. someone won't understand. And yet finding a few people who do understand you and who not only can they support you, but you can support them is a very, very important part of not just healing from something terrible that happens, but just in life. We need each other, don't we?
Yeah, I think we do. I absolutely believe that. And yet I have found that a lot of people just isolate because they think no one wants to be around them.
Yes.
And I just don't think that's very healthy.
Yeah, isolation is going to lead to depression. The more you isolate, the more you're left with your own thoughts, and very often your thoughts are negative. There's no contradiction to those negative thoughts. And so if you're feeling depressed, one of the first things to do is get in touch with someone, contact someone, connect.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Bev, tell us again the title of your book and how people can get hold of it.
The book is This Wasn't Supposed to Happen to Me, and the subtitle is 10 Make or Break Choices When Life Steals Your Dreams and Rocks Your World. You don't have to remember all that. Just remember that thing we've all said to ourselves, this wasn't supposed to happen to me. And I might also mention there's a video group study program that goes along with the book that's being used in faith-based small group discussions that many people are finding very helpful.
And how do people get a copy of this video or of your book?
The book itself can you can get through Amazon.com. The video you get directly from me. You can go to my website, which is drbevsmallwood.com, and that's DR with no period, BEVSMALLWOOD.com. And just click on the sample video there. That'll give you a little bit of information about it. And then just contact us directly. We'd love to talk to you about it.
That's great. And what are some of the services that you provide? So you have a book, and then you do private counseling services? But
we have the Hope Center, and I'm in Mississippi, and so we're a private counseling agency here. I do professional speaking. I speak to all kinds of groups, particularly service industries, on the 10 choices, but also on leadership. I do leadership development in service industries. And so lots of things going on that I'm very excited about.
So if someone's looking for a keynote speaker, they can call you on the 10 choices as well?
Yes, absolutely.
And they can reach you at drbevsmallwood.com?
That's right.
All right. Well, Bev, I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women. I love talking about the different choices that people make or can make in moving forward with their lives.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Well, this has been another really fast show today. It's just been an amazing show. And you've been listening to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. And, you know, and each week I leave you with a quote. And the quote that I would like to leave you with today is, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood." And that's by Nobel Prize winner Marie Curie. So your action for today or for this week is to see if you can bring some greater understanding to one of your fears. This is Deanne DeMarco with today's Inspiring Women. And each week we try to address relevant topics for women to spark your career and life growth. Until again, until later, thanks for tuning in today. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.